Hey friend, and happy Monday, May 17th. As always, thank you for tuning into Divine Exhortations with me, Drea. And you're probably wondering, hold on, today is Tuesday. I have to stay in character though. Friends, Satan is a liar and God will be exalted. I ran into so much issues with my editing and my audio. I couldn't comprehend what was happening. It wasn't sounding good to me. It wasn't coming out the way I wanted it to. And it was just honestly very frustrating. But God will be exalted. And so the episode is here, though it's a day late. It is here, and we give God thanks for that. I hope everyone had a wonderful week. And this past weekend, the weather was gorgeous. It wasn't too hot. It wasn't too cold. It was perfect weather. I got my barbecue grill out and I put on a whole bunch of protein and I barbecued my life away this past weekend. And our boys went out for a bike ride. And so, yeah, we were just outside and just trying to keep our mental health up. And so I want to encourage everyone to go out for a walk, you know, go by the lake. Do something with your children or your child, right? Let's keep our mental health up. Let's keep our spirits up. We've been adapted now just being at home because of the restrictions, but let's get outside. Let's enjoy God's sunshine and let's be grateful for another beautiful day. All right, so let's get into our character Bible study for this day. And we will be looking at the story of Leah. The story of Leah. And you'll find with her story, it's overshadowed by Rachel and Jacob's love connection that they had. And the story surrounds them and their interactions. But we are going to focus on Leah today. And so let's jump right into her character profile. She was the daughter of Laban and the sister to Rachel. She was the first wife of Jacob. She was unattractive and unloved by her husband, yet she loved him. She was the mother of six boys and one daughter: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, and Dinah. Her six sons would be counted among the leaders of the 12 tribes of Israel, and that is found in Genesis chapter 49. This story is full of brokenness and heartache. However, God was able to bring great hope and beauty out of their shame and disappointment. And he can do the same thing for us today. You can read the full story of Leah's marriage and the interactions between Jacob and Rachel in Genesis chapter 29 and verse 30. I definitely don't want to bore you by reading so much passages of scripture because there is a lot of moving parts in this story, but you all didn't tune in for that, right? They have apps for that. But I will briefly summarize the story starting from Genesis chapter 29 and verse 16 because that is where Leah is first mentioned. So once again, if you want to sort of familiarize yourself with the story, go back and just read Genesis chapter 29 and 30. And so quickly, I'm going to paraphrase here. So we have Laban and he has his two daughters, Leah being the eldest daughter and then Rachel the younger. And the Bible says that Leah had tender eyes, or she had delicate eyes. And Rachel was beautiful and she was just stunning and gorgeous in appearance and in shape as well. And so when you look at the word, she had tender eyes, as the Bible uses, it was talking about her eyes being weak. So Leah's eyes appear to be very lifeless, while Rachel's eyes, I guess, were much more beautiful, exotic. And she, like I said, she had everything all together. And so Jacob sees both women and he loves Rachel. And so he says to Laban, I want to marry your daughter. I want her as my wife. And so Laban says to Jacob, all right, you can have her, but you need to work for me for 7 years. So Jacob agrees and he works for 7 years. And the Bible says that in those 7 years, it felt like only days for Jacob because of how much he loved her. 7 years of work, and it felt like days to him. Like, that is some strong love. So running along now, he finishes his task and he says to Laban, "I'm done. It's 7 years. I want my wife." So Laban calls all the men and they have, you know, a feast and festivities. And then he gives Leah to Jacob. So Jacob takes Leah. He doesn't realize it's her. He sleeps with her. And then morning comes. That's when he realizes it's not Rachel. So Jacob is angry and he goes back to Laban and he says, "Why did you deceive me? I worked those 7 years for Rachel, not for Leah." So Laban explains to Jacob that it's not in their culture or custom to give the younger daughter in marriage before the firstborn. And so Laban says, "Okay, continue, you know, the week celebrating with Leah, and then I will give you Rachel after that. And then you have to work for me another 7 years." So Jacob agrees. A week after celebrating his marriage with Leah, he gets with Rachel. He sleeps with her. And the Bible says, indeed, he loved her. And then he worked another 7 years. So now I want to jump to verse 31. It says this: "When the Lord saw that Leah was unloved," another translation uses neglected, "he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren." I can only imagine the hurt, the pain, and disappointment Leah faced as she began her marriage. It wasn't a position that she asked for, a role that she chose for herself. I can only imagine the feelings of rejection, the feelings of unworthiness, and the feelings of inadequacy that must have plagued her heart as she struggled to find her place in her family. While the scriptures mention multiple times how much Jacob loved Rachel, they never mention one time that he loved or cared for Leah at all. And so understandably, and like many of us do when we find ourselves in similar situations of pain and disappointment, Leah tried to be loved, she tried to be accepted, and she tried to be valuable to Jacob. Leah named her firstborn son Reuben, meaning look, see, or behold. And she said, "It is because the Lord has seen my misery. Surely my husband will love me now." Leah named her secondborn son Simeon, meaning to hear. And she said, "Because the Lord heard that I am not loved, he gave me this one too." And Leah named her third son Levi, meaning connection. And she said, "Now at last my husband will become attached to me because I have borne him 3 sons. And if we're all honest, all of us are like Leah. All of us need to be seen. We need to be heard and need to experience meaningful connections. Revealed in the brokenness of this girl's life, she found herself in a very difficult situation. It's at the heart's cry, you know, where she really wanted to be seen. She wanted to be heard, and she was craving for connection with her husband. And in fact, we were created for this too. We were created to connect with one another and to be seen and to be heard and to be loved. I believe Leah had a faulty and tainted perception of who she was and the world around her. She was probably constantly measuring her worth and measuring her value. She was looking to her husband to provide answers to her questions about herself, validating her worth and meaning. When you consider her story, you can see how she found herself in that place. She was just waiting and hoping that with the birth of each child, that Jacob would see her, that he would hear her, that he would connect with her, that he would say something that made her feel accepted, valued, loved, and wanted. That's all of us sometimes. And just like Leah, we can find ourselves looking to the wrong people to answer our questions of worth and value. And this can be a very toxic and harsh cycle. But I love that our God is a God of transformation. He is a God of new beginnings. He speaks light into darkness and hope into hopeless situations. And that is exactly what happens for Leah. This is not the end of her story. She goes on and she has a fourth son. And just as her heart is revealed in the naming of her first three sons, her heart is revealed as she names her fourth boy. Genesis chapter 29 verse 35 says, "She conceived again, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, 'This time I will praise the Lord.' So she named him Judah." Then she stopped having children. Something changed in Leah between the birth of Levi, her third son, and Judah, her fourth son. She went from someone crying out for connection to someone declaring the goodness and faithfulness of God. She went from someone insecure in their worth to someone full of confidence and assurance. She realized that God's answers to her questions were far more important than the answers she received from anyone else around her. So regardless of whether she felt she was seen and acknowledged by Jacob, Leah was seen by God. Regardless of whether she felt she was heard by Jacob, she was heard by God. Regardless of whether she felt she was connected to her husband, regardless of whether she felt she was valued and accepted in her family, Leah was connected, valued, loved, and accepted by her Father in heaven. And so now we get to chapter 30 of Genesis, and Rachel and Leah are contending for Jacob's attention. Rachel wants a child, and Leah wants more children. Leah's son Reuben finds some mandrakes in the field and gives them to his mother. Leah then trades the mandrakes to Rachel in exchange for the opportunity to sleep with Jacob that night. And that's in Genesis chapter 30, verses 14 to 16. Rachel, who was yet childless, accepts the trade, believing that the mandrakes would help her conceive at a later time. Leah sleeps with Jacob that night and becomes pregnant with her fifth son. And then I will read Genesis chapter 30, verses 17 to 21. And it reads as this: "And God listened to Leah, and she conceived and bore Jacob a fifth son. Leah said, 'God has given me my wages because I have given my maid to my husband.' So she called his name Issachar. Then Leah conceived again and bore Jacob a sixth son. And Leah said, 'God has endowed me with a good endowment. Now my husband will dwell with me because I have borne him six sons.' So she called his name Zebulun. Afterward, she bore a daughter and called her Dinah." So what can we take away from this story? What can we see from Leah? Even though unloved by her husband, Leah found fulfillment and blessings through her sons. And so I want to encourage you today, look around and see what God has given you, what he has blessed you with. And let's find fulfillment and find joy and contentment in those things. Despite maybe feeling rejected right now or unloved, find those who do love you. Find those who do care about you and lean into that. Leah also recognized that the Lord cared about her in the midst of her circumstances, even when it didn't change. And many times we want God to come into our situations and auto-correct everything. But sometimes there is a blessing being in the midst of those situations. You really see God's hand in the midst, right? And so just know that God does care about you. The Bible says that he is the God of all comfort. So even in the midst of your circumstance right now, in the midst of your isolation, God has not overlooked you. We can never build a strong or healthy identity based on the way others love and accept us. Imperfect people will never be able to love us perfectly, right? Only God can do that. Neither can we live a fulfilled life by trying to gain other people's love and acceptance. In closing, we need to find our value and our worth in who God says we are. We need to search for acceptance, not in the opinions of others, but in his perfect and unfailing love. We need to discover our purpose and significance in what He says about us. Join with me as I close out in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we honor You today. Your name is great and worthy to be praised. Today we want to approach Your throne. There may be some of us, like Leah, who feels rejected, isolated, unloved, and uncared for. Lord, we have poured out of ourselves to others in hopes to gain their acceptance of us, even when it wasn't reciprocated. This has caused some of us great hurt and much pain. But we are reminded of Your scripture that says, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." God, You are a comforter, and You are the God of all comfort. Today, we look to what Your scriptures say about us. We understand our self-worth and identity is in Christ Jesus. You love us with an unbiased love, despite our imperfections, and Your word lets us know that we are valuable to You. You never overlook a broken heart, but make the time to minister to our spirit. We thank You for thinking of us. Thank You for caring for us. And thank You for attending to our heart's cry. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a fantastic week, everyone. Much love, many blessings. Bye. Hey, friend. Thank you for listening to today's exhortation. I believe you were inspired, challenged, and encouraged today. Because of that, don't keep it to yourself. Share this podcast with a friend, a family member, even a coworker. Feel free to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. I would greatly appreciate it. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of your day. I really do feel special. Let's do this again. See you next week.